You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Matt Wilhelm here with you, Andrew Gribble and Jason Gibbs as well joining us. And as we talked before break, an opportunity to spend some time earlier this offseason with Browns defensive line coach Anthony Weaver.
What attracted you to Danny Shelton in the pre-draft process? And I know he's not here at OTAs, but your impressions thus far since he, the rookie minicamp.
He plays the game with a type of energy that you can't fake. He's full speed. You see his size. You saw his 40 numbers at the combine, but he doesn't play to that. I mean, he's a guy that plays every snap like it's his last play. And guys that play like that are that big aren't easy to come by. So you love that about him. Obviously, we miss the fact that he's not here. But, once he gets here, he has that type of personality, that type of charisma where he'll draw guys in. And the stuff he's missing from a mental standpoint, he's a bright kid. He'll be able to catch up very quickly.
I know the emphasis has been placed on stopping the run. How much responsibility falls on the D-line, and how much does he factor in that big nose tackle who can take on double teams?
Well, I think he can help just because of what you said, because he's going to draw two. And in the run game, you're always talking about changing the math, and he's a guy that can do that. Now, we have a lot of guys that can do that and are willing to sacrifice themselves in order to do that to stop the run. But up front, we take a lot of pride in being able to stop the run. We realize that we're the first line of defense, and for us to have success, we have to go up there and do our job. So we definitely didn't get the results we wanted a year ago. We realize that. But each and every guy on our defensive line, really every guy on defense, has come out here with the mindset to get better in that part of the game.
Do you have any concerns about stamina being an issue with Shelton being that big?
Not in the least. I think if you watch the Stanford game from college, it's probably a 94-play game. I would say he missed five of those plays, and he played the 94th play like it was the first. So that does not concern me. Even when he was out here during rookie minicamp, he was a guy that was running around, having fun on the practice field, leading guys to the end zone on interceptions. So stamina isn't a concern with me at all.
His pass rush numbers are pretty impressive for a nose. Where does that come from?
He's very agile. We always talk about in pass rush, particularly with interior guys, it's all about conversion, being able to flip your hips and win on the edge. And he has the hip flexibility in order to do that. So. Again, he's a big guy that's going to collapse the pocket, which I think will help us, but also he's very agile and can win on the edge with success.
One of the things we heard a lot of during the draft leading up to it is he a two-down guy in the NFL? What do you think?
I think he has all the potential in the world to be a three-down player just because of what I said. The way he can collapse the pocket in pass rush will make more success for our edges, for the Paul Krugers of the world, the Scott, the Solomons, the Mingos. They'll appreciate that, and he'll be able to help us a lot there in that aspect.
Where do you think that comes from? Then there's just so much concern about it. Just do you think people look at his size and don't think that he can?
I think that has something to do with it. I think people look at his size. They see what he ran 40 wise, but at the end of the day, to me, just put on the film. Just put on the film. The film tells a story. And he's had success doing it in college, and I can see that easily translating up to our level.
But have you seen a guy have a slower 40 time?
I don't pay much attention to 40 times anyway. I really don't. Again, what I tell you this is put on the tape. Put on the tape. I'm not coaching track stars. I'm coaching football players. And there's a lot of guys that can run a 4.8, but when you put that film on, when you put the tape on, they don't play to that 4.8. He plays a lot faster than that 40 time says he does. Who's us guys? I don't. That's outside my pay grade. If it was up to me, I wouldn't run a 40 time at the combine. That is not true. That's not a true statement.
Let me ask you this: is a 10-yard split important when you're looking at the line?
What's most important to me is after he's gone through that line of scrimmage, what kind of effort is he giving to the football? And there's a lot of 4.8 guys, 4.7 guys that don't give anywhere near the effort that a Danny Shelton does.
One of the positives with him, people have said that they've never seen a nose guard make so many plays outside the numbers. Did you guys see that?
Yeah. And again, that's a tribute to his effort and mental toughness. It takes will in order to make those plays from sideline to sideline. It takes a want to, and that comes from your heart. That's something that's immeasurable. You can go to the combine, you can put on all the numbers you want, but that's something that you can't measure, and that's something he has.
We've been watching guys like Nada and Hampton for years in this division, and they killed the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a stretch to say this guy could be that potentially down the road?
Yeah, I hate to compare guys. I think he's his own player, but he has all the potential in the world to be mentioned with those guys.
What about Cooper? Where does he start? Is he just an interior pass rusher at this point? Or does he play end in the three?
I think you love him at defensive tackle. You know, you love a three technique that can penetrate, get vertical penetration and force the ball to cut back, that has that pass rush ability. But at the end of the day, he'll be able to play as much as he can handle mentally with learning the positions. But he has all the talent in the world now, and he's a ball guy. He's a guy that consciously takes the mindset every day of getting on his field and getting better. And that's what you love about him.
What do you expect out of Phil Taylor? Where is he now? What do you?
I mean, shoot, we love Phil. You know, from a health standpoint, where he's at now in his rehab, that's probably a better question for Coach Pett. I just know from what I see, he's here every day doing everything he can possibly do in order to get out there and help us win. But, you know, when Phil's healthy, he's a load, and we love him out there, man. He makes plays. So
the Cincinnati game. Cincinnati.
Exactly, the Cincinnati game. So we just got to get him to the point where he's confident. You know, that's the biggest thing when you got a guy coming off injury, particularly a guy his size, he needs to gain confidence in that knee. And we talk about that all the time. And I think he feels good about it. We're probably being a little bit cautious, though.
A guy like Phil Taylor, when you see him walking in a locker room, it looks like he could barely make it to the door. I mean,
he looked like that before he was hurt.
Right, right. So how does a guy that really, it seems a lot to even carry at 35 pounds, how does he play well?
I mean, that you probably got to thank his parents for that. You know, he's got good genetics. You know, a guy that big that moves the way he does, I mean, that's, you know, you thank God and you thank your mom and dad for that. So although at times, you know, he looks like he's hurting there in the locker room, once he gets on that field, he gets that 338 or 340 moving. And like I said, that's a tribute to good genes. There's, you know, I couldn't say about the average 340 pounder.
What's Randy Starks going to add to the defense?
Oh, man. Starks, he's been awesome since he's walked in the building. Obviously, he's a 12-year vet. He has a bunch of vet savvy, and the leadership he's brought to this group has been tremendous. He's a guy that probably doesn't need the reps he's gotten out here, probably doesn't even need to be out here, but he's been here every day. He's working extremely hard, and he's helping me. He's helping me with these young guys, just trying to teach them the ropes and teach them the finer intricacies of this game, and I'm so happy he's here.
Was there any young player that's gravitated towards him more?
I'd probably say it's Xavier Cooper. You know, he's a guy that X is looking to pick a little bit from everybody. He's trying to pick everybody's brain. And there was a play in this last OTA where they ran a little interior twist game, and X comes off the field. He goes, "Oh, I love being out there with these vets. I love being out there with these vets." You know, and it was just something simple that Starks had told him, "Hey, like, I'm gonna make this call. We're gonna hit it. We're gonna win." And sure enough, they did. So he's gained confidence in him. And like I said, Starks has been a tremendous leader for us both on the field and off.
In an ideal world, who leads the D-line in sacks? You know, your scheme plays out.
Oof.
Who you want to be that guy?
I hope we have a tie with three guys at the top. But, yeah, the numbers don't concern me in terms of sacks. I want to know who's going to lead in quarterback hits. And I think we got a bunch of guys now that have the ability to do that.
That was Anthony Weaver, Browns defensive line coach. Very optimistic, almost glowing about his room.
Yeah, he's got reason to be happy seeing a lot of these guys healthier, and there's just more of them. Two new faces that look like they're going to be major contributors here. It's just, I know that there was a similar optimism about this room at this time last year,
but then
a lot of guys got hurt and
yeah.
It just threw things for a loop. But it's back now, and I think there's a couple players with injury issues that even if they didn't pan out, I think they're going to be in good shape.
And I want to hear from you, and I'm going to bring up a new topic, 216-578-0850. We want to hear from you all show long, or tweet the show at Browns_daily. And as I was listening to Anthony Weaver talk about this room, it was just name after name. And we talked earlier about playing 3-4 defense and being more in that that nickel front. And Gibbs, I want to bring you in on this as well. And Gribble, your opening day base defense starter in the 3-4 are who?
On the defensive line, I would probably go Starks, Shelton, and Desmond Bryant.
All right, Gibbs, base defense, starting three in the front.
I'm looking them over right now. That is a great question. There are a lot of guys. I just can't go with Danny Shelton up front yet.
Really?
But I don't know who you put in his place.
Phil Taylor, do you not?
But what if Phil Taylor is not ready?
Then it would be Ishmaele Kitchen.
Ishmaele Kitchen's not going to make this team.
What? I don't know about that.
I don't know.
I don't.
You're going to keep 10 defensive linemen?
I think they saw what happened last year. And
isn't that why you drafted Shelton, though, at 12?
I just think they like the hustle out of Kitchen. And I think that Kitchen – I'm not saying he's guaranteed a spot, but I think Kitchen – it won't surprise me if he's on this team at the start of the season.
I get it.
Boy, this is
– well, you're pondering too long. I'll go.
You know what?
I'll go Taylor, Desmond Bryant, Randy Starks.
Yeah, I mean,
those are the first three running out.
What about Armani Bryant?
No way.
He's going to be kind of a, I would think, a specialist kind of.
We have a lot of those on this team.
He's the hybrid guy. He's going to be. Yeah.
What about Hughes?
Hughes would be in my four-man front.
Four-man front.
Yeah, I think Hughes starts over Desmond Bryant.
No way.
You think so?
Well, I could see why Hughes could earn that spot in the base defense.
I'm not sold on Desmond Bryant.
I got
like
you.
Desmond. I like him. I think he is a good rotation guy.
So, okay, let's flip to the fourth.
Don't they have different skill sets, though, would you say?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's why each one of these guys kind of
– Sorry. You're good. Yeah, so Andrew –
Gribble's got the
– he's got the coughs.
I'm fighting through here.
Yeah, so – but you're right. Gibbs, to your point, I could see it. Phil Taylor on the nose. Randy Starks in that five, you know, or that six technique, a little bit wider as a defensive end, and John Hughes is your three technique, you know, on the outside eye of the guard, you know, owning that B gap, as opposed to Desmond Bryant, who what with six sacks last year, I think is a little bit more of a pass rusher. I think Desmond Bryant is a shoo-in at three technique in my four man front.
Yeah. I think he's a main cog on this defensive line.
Yeah,
man, I think he's someone we really don't talk about a lot.
I know,
really
he just
quiet
does
guy,
his job
but he's,
and produces.
He's that's why I kind of a no brainer. I thought to include him on.
Okay,
that,
four
on
man
that
front. Go ahead.
I went Desmond Bryant, Shelton, Hughes.
In your sub package, Shelton.
Oh yeah, that's true. I overthought that one. So I would say Bryant, Hughes, Starks, and maybe Xavier Cooper.
But you're not going to play 4D linemen. You're only going to play 2D linemen, and you're going to have your ends are going to be Kruger Mingo, Kruger Solomon, Kruger Orchard.
Oh, okay. I thought you're going to, if you're doing like a four man front with all defensive.
Well, linemen. Yeah, but that's not really a package unless you're in, you know, goal line.
Okay.
So it'd be it's third down, third and seven, and you're trying to rush your passer, and you're a nickel. Who are the four down linemen rushing the passer?
Okay, that'll go
Kruger,
Hughes
as an end, Hughes.
Maybe a Dez Bryant.
I like a Dez Bryant.
And then Mingo.
Okay.
Maybe a Scott Solomon if he continues to impress.
I don't think Scott Solomon, the guy we left out, is Nate Orchard. I think Nate Orchard is going to be the guy because Mingo has struggled rushing the passer, even though I like his speed. And he's, the yang to Kruger's, you know, toughness and power rush to his yin. But I think Orchard's that guy. I think that's why we drafted Orchard. I wouldn't be surprised if Orchard is featured in our nickel package because he's able, as I've mentioned, pin his ears back and just go get the passer on third down.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because that is a position where he'd be most comfortable as well because he was a 4-3 end at Utah. So I think that would be right in his comfort, right in his comfort zone, whereas I think that there's going to be an adjustment period in that 3-4 outside linebacker.
And guys, we're forgetting Xavier Cooper.
Right. Well, he's going to be.
I think in those rushing situations, he's going to be. He's going to be a big factor.
The more and more I dig into this roster, the more and more that I understand what we're trying to accomplish offensively and what we're able to do defensively, a lot of these groups are going to be by committee. I think it's going to be wide receiver by committee. It's going to be tight ends by committee. It's going to be rushing the passer by committee, defensive line by committee. We're already sharing the slash starting spot opposite Carlos Dansby with Robertson Kirksey. Safety might be the only position we're not by committee. Corners is going to be by committee because of Desir and Gilbert. Where do they play in? So the great thing about this is we've got a lot of bodies. We've got a lot of talent. And that is something that has been a void for the Cleveland Browns as of recent because of, you know, lack of talent or an injury and one injury at the wrong spot. And we didn't have that viable, talented replacement to pick up the slack.
Yeah, that's why the term starter can be misleading. Absolutely. With defensive players. People keep asking me over and over again, it's like, is Danny Shelton going to be a starter? I was like, well, you know, maybe in some games, but he's just going to play a significant amount of snaps. And that's what you can say
that's
for
all that matters.
A lot of these guys.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to do around the league. Jason Gibbs has prepared some hot topics that we're going to touch upon for the next segment. Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs, Andrew Gribble with you here today on Thursday on this edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.